Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, February the 7th, and this is one of the most read stories on the website today. A nurse who called black members of staff monkeys and sent a topless picture of himself in fishnet tights to a junior colleague has been struck off. Details of Alan Prue's behaviour at Medway Maritime Hospital in Gillingham have been revealed at a Nursing and Midwifery Council hearing. Well, Kate joins me now. Kate, what did the documents say?
Well, they detailed how in December 2019, Prue messaged a member of staff known as Colleague One about their shift and how they were working with agency staff. He asked her if they were the ones from the jungle before referring to them as monkeys. The worker admitted feeling awkward about his comments and unsure how to respond. 5 days later, the same colleague received a picture message from Mr. Prue. He was shirtless and wearing stockings and knickers. He then claimed to have sent the picture by accident, saying it was supposed to go to someone else.
And what else was the hearing told?
Evidence outlined how Prue, who became an adult nurse in 1999, would go into the colleague's ward on several occasions and stare at her, something that was witnessed by other members of staff. It became such an issue. Other nurses would tell her he was on his way and she would either leave the ward or hide. She described how she found his behaviour extremely intimidating. Several other colleagues provided written statements about messages from Mr. Prue that had been received or seen.
Finally, Kate, what did the panel decide?
They agreed to make a striking off order, saying the aggravating features in the case were intimidation, bullying and harassment. Mr. Prue said he was outraged by the decision and has launched an appeal. We've also had a statement from the Chief People Officer at the Medway NHS Foundation Trust. It says they do not tolerate discriminatory behaviour of any kind and will always take action to protect the care and well-being of staff, patients and visitors.
Kate, thank you ever so much. You can read this story in full and see a picture of Mr. Prue by heading to the website.
Kent Online News.
Three men have been arrested after tons of waste was illegally dumped in Ashford. 30,000 tonnes of fly-tipped rubbish was left at Hodeswood in 2023. A specialist company has now been appointed to come and clear it away. Two men from Sheppey and another from Sittingbourne have all been questioned by police and the investigation, we're told, is ongoing. Elsewhere, volunteers looking after an ancient woodland near Maidstone say they're in desperate need of funding to continue to secure its future. Mangrove Wood in Lewes was saved from a proposed Tesco development 25 years ago. The site was bought by local residents for £1 just over a decade ago, but those still looking after it say they need grants to keep going. Sarah Leeson is from North Lewes Limited, which maintains the site.
At the moment, we are just looking for any donations or grants which people might be aware of, which we could apply for in order to boost our rather dwindling financial resources. So North Lewes Limited is a private company, so it has no income and it has no membership fees. So we are entirely reliant on the goodwill of individuals to help us or for any donations. So anything, however small, would be greatly appreciated. And for those of you who haven't visited Mangravit Wood, I would encourage you to do so, because particularly in the spring, it is very beautiful with a carpet of bluebells and wood anemones.
And a campaign's been set up to protect an area of woodland in Canterbury that's gone up for sale. Old Park was previously used by the Ministry of Defence as an infantry and driver training facility. The site is the size of around 140 football pitches and has been described as a hidden gem and is a habitat for various wildlife.
Kent Online reports.
Investigations are underway after two masked men tried to force their way into a home in Ramsgate. Video footage at Kent Online shows one of the men holding a knife as the other kicks the door to a flat in Albert Court just before 10 the other night. They weren't able to get inside. Police have confirmed they're making inquiries. A suspected shoplifter has been charged after a police car was damaged and officers spat at in Dartford. The 39-year-old is accused of stealing meat from a store and was arrested near the Priory Shopping Centre on Wednesday. Another man was detained on the same day on suspicion of stealing alcohol from Sainsbury's at Pepper Hill in Gravesend. A man man's been charged with dealing cocaine after police searched a car in Tunbridge. Officers found 19 packets of white powder and cash after following a suspicious vehicle in Barden Road on Monday night. A 24-year-old from Swindon has been remanded in custody. On to politics news now, and Reform UK have won two seats on Medway Council after residents voted in by-elections. Candidates from the party have been elected in Rochester East and Warren Wood. Meantime, Labour won the seat in Gillingham South. Well, local democracy reporter Robert Boddy joins me now. Robert, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. Firstly, can you remind us why these by-elections were happening in Medway?
So these three by-elections were taking place because the three councillors who represented the seats in Rochester East and Warren Wood and Gillingham South, which were Lauren Edwards, Tristan Osborne and Shahba Khan, resigned because they won seats in the general election in July. Lauren Edwards for Rochester and Strood, Tristan Osborne for Chatham and Aylesford, and Shahba Khan for Gillingham and Raynham.
Now, all three seats, as you explained, were previously held by Labour, but had all of the parties been out campaigning to try and gain or retain them?
Labour were obviously out and out. They're trying to maintain their majority on the council. The Conservatives had three candidates in the three seats, and they were sort of publishing that they were out on the doorstep quite frequently. However, I think the atmosphere that I got from them at the actual count was they kind of understood, because it had been such a Labour strong seat, or strong seats, they probably wouldn't have as much of a chance as maybe somewhere else. Reform, when this by-election was called, I wasn't really sure where Reform would place in this, and because I wasn't really sure of their ground operation, but it certainly, as the weeks went on, it kind of became clear that although they weren't sort of posting on social media about what they were doing and where they were campaigning as frequently, they were out just as much, if not more, than the Labour Party in their campaigning efforts.
So what happened last night?
So Labour won Gillingham South quite comfortably by about 200 votes. Lyubov Nesterova for the Labour Party won 607 votes. The close second was, the second place was Rizvi Raouf for Reform Party with 506 votes. Conservatives were in third place with 330 votes. So in Rochester East and Warren Wood, John Vye for the Reform Party won 802 votes. David Finch for the Reform Party won 870 votes. This was to Labour's Robert Wyatt won 717 votes, and Carolyn Hart won 781.
Robert, was the result a surprise, and what does it mean for the political makeup of the council now?
I think it was a surprise to some. I think there was always the possibility in Labour Party members' minds that the Reform would do well somewhere, but for it to be in Rochester East and Warren Wood, I think, was the more surprising of the two options, just because it had been a Labour stronghold for such a long time. In terms of the political makeup of Medway Council now, if you look on paper, this does mean technically that Labour become a minority administration in Medway Council. They have now 29 councillors, Conservatives have 20, the Independent Group have 5, the Reform have 3, because independent councillor Chris Spalding told me after the council were all finished that he had actually quietly joined the Reform Party on Wednesday evening. So Reform now have 3 members on the council, and unaffiliated independent councillors there are 2. However, those 2 unaffiliated independent members are former Labour members who were suspended in February last year following an incident at the Labour Christmas party. They still vote with the Labour administration. They do support what they do, and I think they both intend to try and get back into the Labour Party if possible. So although on paper it seems that Labour no longer have overall control of Medway Council, that's not strictly true. They do have a majority of 1 in real terms.
Robert, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
Hundreds of pounds has been donated to help a Margate family who've lost everything, including their dog, in a house fire. The blaze ripped through a home in Taddy Gardens on Monday. One of their friends has set up a GoFundMe page to help them get back on their feet. As the winter continues, another cold health alert has come into force in Kent. It started this morning and lasts until Tuesday. We're being warned temperatures could dip below freezing, putting extra pressure on local health services. Now, next today, there are fears plans for new homes in Deal could cause a smell in the area to get even worse. People living in Northwall Road say there's already a bit of a stench, and they reckon the new builds will aggravate sewer and drainage systems. Well, reporter Sam Lennon has been speaking to resident Sandra Collins and Graham Herbert and his wife Lydia.
This last year, the smell from the drains has been terrible. I mean, quite there's a lot of places in Deal that you walk past, and there's a particular pond, and there are places up this road that do have that. But I hadn't experienced it till last year, and it was really smelly to the point. A couple of days, you couldn't even sit in the garden. The smell from the drain was terrible.
It's going to make a big difference to water getting away. And we can only see the way it can go is either onto the street or to somebody else's property.
The sewage is going to go into the same sewer pipe. And as you already mentioned, Mrs.
Collins
has already mentioned that she has a lot of smells up there, and I've been there and it really does smell. Some number of years ago, there was a problem with the sewer in the actual road, and I think that there was some repairs having to be done then.
Plans have been submitted for 6 properties, close to a scheme for a further 44.
Kent Online News.
A school which was previously accused of indoctrinating pupils by putting up pride flags has been rated outstanding across the board by Ofsted. Westmead's Community Infant School in Whitstable faced criticism last June for putting up the display during Pride Month. Well, inspectors made a visit in January and gave it full marks. Elsewhere, work on a £20 million revival project on Sheppey is underway. Contractors have moved in to start expansion work at Sheppey College in Sheerness, which will soon offer places to students aged 16 to 19 in creative engineering and logistics subjects. Well, reporter Joe Crosley has been along to see the work getting underway and started off by speaking with Graham Raisey, who's the chief exec of EKC Group, which runs the site.
It feels amazing. You know, this is a really monumental step for the island, for education on the island, and real opportunity for young people in the future to come and train in what's going to be, you know, world-class facilities in creative and engineering disciplines that we've not been able to train on the island in the past. And so this is a really good opportunity for young people of the future.
So does this mean that you're going to be able to attract more students? Is that the hope and goal of this project?
Yeah, look, you know, changes to the secondary school system happened this September. We now have 2 secondary schools on the island. Our ambition is to allow young people to stay on the island to train, and we're hoping that those students will, when they finish their secondary education, they'll come and study here in these facilities so that they can then bring and gain jobs on the island. So hopefully it will bring more students, but what we want is students to be able to stay local and study in their local college.
Awesome. And in terms of also staff, does it mean there's going to be more jobs? And also, does it mean that, you know, there's more jobs for almost local teachers and stuff like that? What does it mean in terms of jobs?
Yeah, so new disciplines. We'll be looking for teachers in the creative industries, teachers of engineering, and also we'll be opening a junior college. So young people at the age of 14 will be able to come and study full time as if they were at school in these facilities in those 2 disciplines. So lots of opportunities, lots of regeneration for the area. Really excited.
Joe also caught up with Monique Bonney, who is chair of Swale Council's Regeneration and Property Committee.
This project, or the wider grant project, funding project, is effectively three phases. So it is education, it is around business, and it's around leisure and health. So those 3 or 4 areas are really fundamental to it. The council has put in its own assets, it's put in Master's House, which it had refurbished as part of the equity into the deal, and it used its own car park, which is where the college extension is going. And then in Beachfields, we've got our existing building, which is being refurbished there for leisure and health and community purposes. So it's an all-encompassing project to maximise the value that we could get from this government funding, which is the maximum £20 million.
MP Kevin McKenna was also at the event.
Allowing the college to expand the amount of work it does here in fitting people with the skills they need for jobs on the island, that will have effects that feed back across the whole community here. So actually, if it fits people for jobs that they really want to do but are also better paid, then want to stay on Sheppey for that, then that allows us to build the strength in the community economically. More than that, I think it's no secret that Sheerness-on-Sea has somewhat lost its connection to the sea, so reinvigorating the link between the rail station and the sea, it's overdue and really important. And you know, people need to come here and see what a great place this is, and that you're not far outside of London and other bits of Kent. And frankly, we've got the best beaches in the county and we've got the best views as well.
Thanks ever so much to Joe for covering that one. And you can see pictures by heading to the Sheppey pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
People living near to Lym Castle say their peace and quiet has been shattered by constant noise from a generator. It's been installed at a bistro reopened by the millionaire owners of the site near Hythe. Neighbours say the constant growling exhaust keeps them up at night. A council spokesperson told us the silent generator is kept in an enclosed structure behind a stone wall. TV's Dr. Ranch is getting an honorary doctorate from Canterbury Christchurch Uni later. He was born in Medway and was a contestant on Strictly back in 2018. The presenter and health campaigner will receive the honour during a graduation ceremony at Rochester Cathedral. Two white deer have been spotted in Kent. The rare animals were caught on drone footage on the Burling Estate near Westmorling. You can see pictures of them by heading to our socials. Hundreds of school children are going to be taking part in a lantern parade as part of a festival in Maidstone later. There'll also be music, street performers and live entertainment in the town centre. The parade starts at County Hall and continues through Week Street to Jubilee Square. And finally, tickets to see McFly at Dreamland in Margate have gone on sale today. They're playing on the scenic stage on Friday, the 1st of August, with special guest Sam Ryder.
Kent Online. Sports.
Football and Gillingham make the long trip to Barrow in League Two this weekend. The Gills are currently 18th in the table, while tomorrow's opposition are just one place below them. John Coleman is still without a win after taking over from Mark Bonner as Gillingham manager, and the side are also bottom of the form table, going eight games without a victory. Well, let's hear from midfielder Bradley Dack, who's been chatting ahead of the game.
It's been a tough run. I don't think it's through not trying. Obviously everyone wants to win games and we know we should be in a better place in the league, there's no doubt about that, but sometimes it's hard to put a finger on what's going wrong, but we've got to snap out of it quickly and it starts on Saturday.
Doncaster were in a similar position last season, they were kind of bottom six or seven, went on an amazing run to get into the playoffs, although that's going to be a tricky task. I suppose you just got to maintain that positive energy and the positive mindset.
Yeah, I think you have to. There's a team every season that comes late. I'm not saying that's going to be us, or we can't say that we haven't won in a lot of games. So we just have to build on the next game, and try and put a run together. We'd be looking up rather than down, I think, is the answer to your question. And hopefully we can put a bit of a run together, and you never know what happens.
Fans turn up in the numbers, home and away. I think they'll all do. Barrow on Saturday, 6.5 hours, it's a long journey for them. Obviously, they're all touch frustrated at the moment. I guess you guys kind of appreciate that, because I guess you're feeling exactly the same in the dressing room.
Yeah, we understand their frustrations. It's frustrating for us as well as them. We want to put on performances for them. Like you said, they're travelling their numbers away and you get a good number at home. So we want to do the best for them and the best for ourselves and help the club get to a better level. It's difficult, obviously, they're frustrated and I think you can hear that in the home games at points, and we need them to feel like they need to get on board with us, you know what I mean? We all need to be together as one, and I think over the last few weeks that's maybe been a little bit fractured, so that's something we have to kind of give them something to get hold of and get after us. and hopefully we can do that.
Kick-off tomorrow's at 3. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have reaction to the result in our bulletins on sister radio station KMFM on Sunday. Staying with football, and a non-league striker from Kent is hoping he can hold on to the top goal scorer position in this year's FA Cup. Ashford United's Gary Lockyer has 10 goals in the competition, and despite the team no longer being in the tournament, it'll be a total that is hard to beat. Gary's been speaking to Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV.
I'd be lying if I say I wasn't checking. I think, you know, it'd be an unbelievable personal achievement for myself to be top goal scorer in one of the oldest and best competitions, you know, around. I think there's watched all over the world. You know, like I said, that we are a team that play in the lower divisions, so we don't tend to see any of the pro clubs that play. Even though Ashford United themselves done very well this year, I think it was our best achievement, our best round to get to. So yeah, I do check it. I do like to check it. I do like to check if I know that a player is going to get close or potentially overtake. And you never know with the pro clubs coming in.
Absolutely. And of course, a trip to Wembley would be lovely as well on that final day. Now, there's been a real lack of underdog stories, I think, in the round proper this year. I mean, when you think back to the likes of Maidstone United, another one of our local clubs doing so well last year and getting all the way to the final 16. So what you've kind of done here is, you know, you're kind of representing non-league football as a whole. And we do see that non-league players tend to do quite well in this competition because of the likes of replays and the qualifying rounds.
Yeah, look, obviously the FA had different ideas this year with not doing replays from round one. I was sort of lucky enough to play one replay in the first qualifying round. So some will probably feel hard done by with obviously the top goal scorer award. But, you know, I still got to play them games. I still got to score in them games. I believe I played 6 FA Cup games in total and 10 goals is an unbelievable achievement. I sort of base my game on and around goals. So, you know, to be up at the top for so long, you know, we sort of started the competition back in end of July, beginning of August, you know, and some teams don't come in till the end of January. So it's a long wait, but to put myself in them kind of brackets and, you know, you always see it on social media and stuff like that. Yeah, it's good. It's a proud moment if I do win it. Another few months to go before we find out if I do or not. But, you know, yeah, I'm proud to be up there at the minute.
The next round of the FA Cup kicks off tonight, and plans have been submitted to move the home of a Kent Football Club and build affordable homes in its place. Larkfield and New Hythe Football Club want to build a new ground and clubhouse at the former Oast Park Golf Club just outside of Snodland. A 150-home estate would then go on the old site off New Hythe Lane in Larkfield. The applications are currently with the council. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, head to Kent Online, where you can also join Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. And you can check out the latest review from our secret drinker on the website today. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.